Welcome to the Fabric Podcast and our conversation, Stirrings. This podcast was recorded live at Field Community School in Minneapolis, where some of our local community was able to finally gather in person after a long time away. Here's Greg Meyer.
I'm Greg Meyer, and like Dustin said and Chris said, welcome back to Field. I mean, it's been a while. Also, welcome to anybody who's listening to the podcast and those who are live streaming. We are glad that you're here, and we are hoping to upgrade our live stream as we go, just kind of piece by piece as we figure all this stuff out. But it is kind of a momentous day, isn't it? I mean, the pandemic is not over, we all know. But at the same time, we think we've learned enough and have enough tools in our hands with vaccine and masks and distance and ventilation and things like that, that we can do this spacing, that we can do this responsibly. So we're here after 85 weeks. Not that I was counting. Okay, I was. But after 85 weeks, here we are back again, back at Field. It is kind of a throwback. So, and some of you have never been here, which is kind of interesting. You've connected with the community in the meantime. So this is like, which is actually kind of a good thing to observe, because it says, like, we don't have to be here. I mean, we're Fabric when we're in other places or meet in different ways. This is Field School. Sometimes we gather here, and sometimes we gather in other ways, and that doesn't matter. I mean, it's nice to have a place. It's nice to have a home, but it doesn't have to be that way. And I think that really is actually important for us to remember and to hold on to. So anyway, so the reason that we're back here is really kind of an example of what we want to be talking about today and then for the next couple of weeks. And we're back here because we have a feeling that maybe we've been away from each other long enough. For some of us, too long. And we've experienced that in a lot of ways. Some that we can articulate and point at, and some that we don't really quite have words for, but we just sort of feel like we need to actually be in the same space with some of these people who are really important to us and to our lives and to what we're all about. And we also know that we have this sense that the weather's going to change, and it's not going to be so easy to be outside. And also, maybe that we do know enough, like I said, to be responsible in our gathering. And some people, you know, that's why we have the live stream. For some people, they're not there yet. Those feelings haven't quite brought them here. And for others, they were maybe ready to come back a while ago. So there are risks and compromises enough to make us decide that with all these feelings that maybe it's time to figure this out. Maybe it's time to figure out how we can be together and to at least try it, okay? And, you know, I think that's kind of how those feelings work. And that's what I want to talk about, right? We call those feelings, or at least we're calling them for the sake of this conversation, stirrings. Those ideas, those notions, those rustlings, those rumblings you get in yourself sometimes that tell you something that you need to know. The stirrings that brought us back to Field are, they're kind of a little bit more obvious. I mean, there's so much the public conversation right now. There's a lot of facts that weigh in on it. And some of the other stirrings, though, that are, what would I call, maybe some of those other stirrings that haunt you, that's probably not a bad word for it. These stirrings, they haunt us, but they don't just haunt us, they also lead us. And that's an important aspect of it. They sit in the back of our heads, they hint at something new, something we haven't thought of, we haven't tried, maybe we never took seriously before, something that says that there's something new about what you do, what you think, what you've always assumed is true, that says it doesn't have to be that way. And these stirrings, they're not just random neurons firing in your brain, at least not all the time. I mean, they really are there because there's something important that you're not quite aware of yet, but yet you're sort of aware of it. They're trying to tell you something you don't know yet. And so we're going to be spending some time learning these next weeks about what does it mean to attend to rather than dismiss those stirrings. Because I'm afraid most of us grow up being taught to dismiss them. So anyway, we all know what this is, right? But none of us actually understands it. It's called migration. Millions and millions
of birds do it twice a year. Sure, there are changes in the number of hours of daylight and in the temperature and in the food sources that they have, and I'm sure there's some genetically evolved things that trigger hormones and stuff that prepare them and stuff to do that. But all that aside, nonetheless, what makes them leave the place that they were spending the whole summer raising their young, finding their food, and start to gather, and then to take off and go someplace that many of them have never been for or been to before, thousands of miles away in many cases, along pathways that they have never ever seen? Like, what makes them all do that? I mean, they don't do it like we would. I mean, you got monarchs to Canadian geese, you got elks, and you've got hummingbirds do it. I mean, and they don't have a conversation like we would. I mean, it's not like, okay, guys, it's October 10th. You all know, October 15th, we've got to be on our way. We're due in Iowa by the 18th. And so are you taking care of cleaning out your nest so they're ready for you when you come back in the spring? Are you eating all those extra worms and bugs and seeds and things so that you got the energy you're going to need? And you moms and dads, are your kids ready? I mean, by the middle of September, they should have been able to fly a couple hours a week. And are they doing their wing exercises? So, come on, guys, we have a schedule to stick to here. I mean, that conversation doesn't happen in the creature world. But somehow they figured it out. There are factors, like I said, that we know trigger migration. But how do these creatures experience that? Experience it in a way that makes them actually do it. What pushes them over the edge to take off and to go, like I said, for many of them, thousands of miles, someplace they've never been, along paths that they've never known? Now, that's them, and we are us. Stirrings, I think, that we feel aren't quite the same as that, but you do have them. And they are asking you, in many cases, to go places you have never gone before, along paths that you have never seen. Okay, so right now, I want to pause from that. I want to take that conversation and just set it on the side for a minute. And I want to talk about something else that I think is incredibly important for us to acknowledge before we can ever really start to wrestle with these stirrings. And you may wonder at first, like, what it has to do with it, but stick with me. In fact, we're going to kind of develop it through these next couple weeks to understand it a little bit better. And the statement is actually really simple. It's simply this. If you dare to look deep, deep within yourself, what you will discover there is truly precious and lovely. You will not discover a monster. Now, what I mean to be saying there is that, I mean, deep, deep inside, I mean, past all the stuff that you're busy thinking about, the stuff that's in your conscious mind, the stuff that you worry about, think about, consider all the time, I mean, way past that. Deeper behind some of the programming, all the experiences you've had, the trauma, the wonderful, I mean, deep, deep down, the place that many of us never quite get familiar with, but if you would actually start looking deep, deep down inside, do you know what you would find? Are you afraid of what you might find? I want to tell you that what you're going to find there is something that is absolutely wonderful. And a lot of us aren't quite sure about that. I want you to sit with that for a little bit. And I want to let you know, let me give you a clue as to why I think this is so important for our conversation about stirrings. And first of all, the first reason is because it's true, okay? It's true. Even though you may not know it about yourself. It's something that I'll be audacious enough to say that I know it about you. And I feel like stirrings have taught me that it is true about you. And I also think it's kind of neat, important for us to say that's true because there's a huge aspect of the Christian tradition that has taught us otherwise. It is said that there is something wrong with humanity, that there's the depravity of the human soul, the fallenness of human beings. Yeah, you know, life is hard. We've let a lot of stuff separate us from ourselves and from each other and from God, from all that is good. And there's a lot of brokenness within us and among us. But deep down, if you dare to peer into yourself, you will not discover something that is bad, but something that is good. I think it's kind of interesting that the Bible, as a source of a wisdom tradition that's trying to teach us something that we wouldn't necessarily know about ourselves, starts in the very first chapter saying that, well, God created. In this poem of helping us understand about our relationship to the world and to ourselves and to God, in the very first chapter, it says God makes all this stuff, and then God steps back and says, what? It is good. It is good. Yeah, and then the whole rest of the Bible has all kinds of other stuff happening, but it never changes that fact that God says, this is good. You are good. And I want to make that point because I'm afraid that some of you don't know that. That you might not believe it, that you might even be afraid to look deep within yourself because you are afraid that if you do, you will find something else other than that. And so you don't look. You don't look. That you, if you do, you might find out maybe what you've always suspected all along, or maybe what you've been taught along the way by other people, that there is nothing special about you, that there is something defective about you, that there is something that makes you unworthy, ashamed, makes you, that there is something ugly that you should bury from everyone, maybe even from yourself. No, that is not true. Those are the shadows. That's the smokescreen that we look through that keeps us from actually trying to figure that out and keeps us from understanding who that is deep inside with us. No, if you look inside, there's something precious and something lovely. So know that. Hold on to that. Trust that. We'll work with that. Now, that affirmation is not only true, it's also essential. It's essential because it says something about where these stirrings come from, right? Deep inside. That's where these stirrings happen, way, way down deep. That's where we first make contact with them. That's where they first begin to creep into our awareness. Deep inside, in that unconscious, not easily seen or understand place. That's where these rumblings happen, and that is where we decide what to do with them. So if you distrust yourself, your real, real self, if you don't like or you're afraid of what is in your innermost being, who you are, what is the chance that you will really give those stirrings that start there a hearing? We cannot afford for you to not listen to those. You cannot afford to not listen to those. I'll venture to say that all great changes within ourselves and within our world begin this way. They begin as stirrings. They begin as shifts, creations that begin that way. And you cannot, the world cannot afford to miss them. So we need to figure out, like, what is my relationship with that part of myself deep inside there so that I can do that? So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to write this down. And I didn't put it, so on the back of your Sunday paper, if you haven't been around, there's an outline. I invite you to follow along. It's for your own use to try to make this all useful for you. If you're on the live stream or if you're listening on the podcast, there's a link there for you. You can take a look at it yourself. And there's a box there, and I would like you to write this in your own handwriting because it isn't so important that I tell you this, that what you find inside is lovely and precious. What's important is that you tell yourself this, right? So, and write it in the first person. And I guess in first person would be like this. If I dare to look deep within myself, what I will discover is lovely and precious, not a monster. Live with that this week. Consider it a little bit. Let it soak in. It's understanding that, believing that is not something any of us ever resolve. It's a lifelong, long-haul challenge. You might even want to kind of say it out loud to yourself as you write it. Okay. So, these stirrings, back to them. They are not some quirky, strange thing that happens once in a while. Yeah. No, there's something that is happening all the time, and they are going on everywhere. It's how the new always arrives. Those of you who are moms, how did you first know that there was a life inside you? I mean, yeah, sure, maybe there was some physical things. Maybe the doctor told you there was a heartbeat and stuff like that. Yeah, all those facts happened. You recognize them, but how did you know? How did you know there was a life inside you? Or even better yet, perhaps, that child, when it was within you, how did you begin to know who that child was, have a sense for who that child was before you were ever able to hold and interact with that child? Or for any of us, these last couple weeks here of October, how did you discover one day when you walked out your door that it was no longer summer, but you said to yourself, it's fall? Maybe you were in that gray area where you never really thought, you hadn't quite let go of summer, but you had never really grasped onto fall. But all of a sudden, one day, you walked out and you said, it's fall. How did that happen within you? Now, those are kind of simple and maybe sentimental examples of stirrings, but I'd argue that they're actually pretty important, and they can teach us a lot about how to pay attention and to learn from the stirrings that maybe aren't so simple and maybe have graver circumstances around them. Stirrings that seem to be telling you that the way that you're headed in life isn't going to get you where you've always wanted to be. Stirrings that say what has worked in the past isn't working the same way quite anymore. Maybe in the way you raise your kids, or maybe the way you interact with your friends, or you run your business, or you do your job. Maybe it's stirrings that are nudging you to consider that what you believed about that other person isn't really quite true, even though you've built up a whole lot of evidence to verify that, yeah, that is what that person's like. Or that there's something that doesn't fit. Something that just doesn't make sense with how you are in the world and what the world is really like. Just think how that has played out over the last 60 years with our environment and us gradually as a society realizing that the way we've lived with the world isn't quite right. Or think about how the echoes of those stirrings have tried to get our attention around areas of racial justice for hundreds of years, and they're only now starting to wake us up. How does change happen? I think all change begins with those stirrings. In the Old Testament, there's a book called Isaiah, a book of a prophet Isaiah, written more than half a millennia before the time of Jesus. And he was writing at a time when the world was really being turned upside down for Israel, which seemed to be happening a lot for them. The way that they had operated to that point was no longer possible. They needed to decide that who they had been was no longer who they would be. And it was hard to get their attention. Anyway, at that time, Isaiah speaks the voice of God, the voice of Yahweh, which means I am who I am, right? God, he's speaking that which just truly is, and says this. He says, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it. Let me paraphrase that a little bit to make it hit home. He's writing and says, forget the way it has been done. Don't hang on to what you already know. Things are changing. There's life blowing in and around you. It has already begun. Haven't you noticed? Stop for a second. Be quiet and listen. See. You know that it's happening already, don't you? Stirrings are the way the universe works, a universe that's always changing and always evolving. So we'll be digging into these over the next couple weeks, but today there are a couple things that I think we need to kind of wrap our heads around in order to continue this conversation. And the first is this. Conventional thought, we all know what that is, right? Conventional thought is the enemy of your stirrings. Conventional thought is the enemy of your stirrings. Conventional thought, you know, status quo, the way it has been done, all those things, they've got a stake in preserving themselves. They're great at creating and maintaining something that we call inertia. Inertia, as you know from your high school physics class, is the ability for any object to resist the force exerted upon it so that its state will not change. Basically, inertia is what we as individuals and we as a society and we as a world have to keep ourselves from being disrupted. And, you know, there are a lot of words that one could use for stirrings, but one of them very clearly would be disruption, all right? They're messing with the way we know how to do things already. It's no new news that disruption, you know, that the new is a disruption of the old, right? And that's why the old resists it. It makes the old uncomfortable. It's hard work. I mean, it's adjustment. It's change. And the status quo, the conventional thought, is all in favor of progress, but wants it to happen without change, right? And we know that progress doesn't happen without change. And so we get this battle between these two. Now, it's easy to say, you know, point at society, and, oh, society is all about this equilibrium, conventional thought, and holding me back from my stirrings. Yeah, it's kind of true, but the thing is, that conventional thought thing, that's in you, all right? I mean, there are so many ways that conventional thought is already has its foothold in what you know, what you think, what you do, what you assume. It's in your behavior. It's even in your identity. And an opponent that is within us is a lot harder to fight than an opponent that is outside of us, right? So it's something for us to deal with, something for us to be talking about. Now, it's important to know that conventional thought is the enemy of stirrings, because without a deliberate effort then, on your part, conventional thought is always going to be the thing that interprets your stirrings for you. And basically, it's going to want to just kind of, what, set them aside, right? So, I mean, think about it. When you get the sense that you should drop your economics major and transfer to the theater department, or vice versa, what kicks in? That's not going to work. Or what do you, you know, what happens when you text your parents and told them you just did that? Yeah. Or when you can tell that the way that your company is organized is bogging down everybody and their work and what they're trying to be about and making people miserable, what meets that? Yeah, you know, it's this conventional thought that just tries to say, no, don't do it. When those stirrings start whispering to you, what do you think starts shouting at you? It's the voice of what has been, and as far as it's concerned, will forever be. Amen, right? So threats, doubts, fear, uncertainty, all that stuff starts ratcheting up and trying to squelch the new. So how can you find this possible future and reach for it, which is not here, it's not physical, it's not tangible, it can't speak for itself, and what is here already is so loud and so well entrenched, how are you going to do it? It needs you to speak for it. It needs you, in all your fearfulness and all your uncertainty and all your doubt, to say, hold on a second. Maybe we need to look again. Maybe we need to think about it. So we need to decide what is going to greet, what is going to interpret those stirrings within us. And that's a big challenge and something that we'll be trying to understand how it fits into different parts of life. I think about Martin Luther King. I mean, Martin Luther King had some pretty strong stirrings in his life, and he had a pretty good sense of what they meant and where they needed to go in the world. But what was he greeted? What were his stirrings greeted with? I'm sure within himself as well, but what were they greeted in by the with the world? But Martin Luther King said, no, I'm not going to just let that be what decides, what filters my stirrings. And he stood between those messages and what he felt in order to decide what he needed to do with it and what we needed to hear about it. So that's the first thing to know. Conventional thought or wisdom are going to try to suppress your stirrings. But there's a second thought that's also important here, and that's simply this. Not all stirrings are good. Not all stirrings are good. Now, I wish I could just tell you to listen to your stirrings, because they're telling you something you got to do, and you got to learn that, and you just got to go do it. Unfortunately, it isn't simply that way. I mean, that's how it works. These stirrings are coming from that kind of, you know, black box within us that we can't really see, we can't really understand, we don't really know what's going on in there. And so these things come out and we've got to sort of figure out what to do with them. Like I have a stirring every night about 10 o'clock to eat ice cream. Now, over the years, I've learned to really trust that stirring, that it's really good and an important thing for me to do it, and I obey it. But then there are other things too, like every once in a while I get a stirring to exercise. And I've realized to be pretty wary of that one, you know? So that's not exactly true, but you get the point, right? I mean, there are all kinds of stirrings that we get and we hear, and some of them are really good guidance, and some of them we need to hear. You know, we need to figure out what to do with them. You know, that's true. Like, what is shoplifting? Shoplifting is a stirring that I really want that, at least for the first offense, right? I really want that, and I don't really have a way to do it, and no one is looking, and I probably could have that. Or, you know, something more simple like clicking on something and then put it in your cart on Amazon because I have this stirring that says, I will be happier if I get that. You won't. But the stirring made you think, well, that's something to try. So anger, you know, this desire to get even, revenge, I mean, lots of other things. These are all examples of these stirrings that rumble around inside us, stirrings that we should not listen to. Or let me take that back. Stirrings that we should listen to, but we shouldn't necessarily follow. In fact, that's the next thing to realize or to recognize about these stirrings. One is that we should listen to all of them because they're giving us some really important information about the situation we're in, about the feelings that we have inside of us, stuff that we need to be in touch with, but we don't necessarily follow them, right? There's a longer path towards that. So, you know, maybe some of those moral stirrings, like I was just mentioning, are a bit easier to sort out, but there are others that they're messy. They're hard to understand, they're hard to evaluate, like that stirring that, should you change your business model? Wow, seems terribly practical, but if you're a business leader, has that ever just all of a sudden started welling up inside you? Should you be drawing some boundaries with a relationship? Because it's getting strangely complicated and you're starting to notice things. Or that you're noticing that you aren't as happy as you used to be with your job or with your family or with your church, right? And probably in every case, when we get these kinds of stirrings, they're letting us know that something needs to change, right? I mean, that's what we've been saying. These stirrings are letting you know that something needs to change. And you know, I don't know you, but I do know that you're all human beings, and so my guess is that your reaction to this is similar to mine, and that when something needs a change in my relationship to something, I always assume it's the other party's change that needs to happen, right? Like, something needs a change in my job, or something needs a change in the way my family operates, or something in my church, which shall remain nameless, needs to change. And you might be right. That might be what it is. But it also might be you. It might be you that needs to change. Yeah, so not all stirrings are good, but they are all important. And they all deserve a hearing. And that brings a question that we talked about just before. What do you greet your stirrings with? What filter do you allow to screen what gets through? You know, when we were talking about it at first in terms of conventional thought being the enemy of stirrings, you might have thought, well, yeah, I just got to get rid of my filters and I just got to let all those stirrings come pouring through and I got to act on them. And then you say, well, hold it. No, it's not quite that simple. It'd be nice if it were, but it isn't. The truth is you do need a filter. You do need to test, to better understand, to move those vague nigglings, you know, that are in the back of your mind to someplace where you can see them and understand them and get to know them better so that you can actually, you know, kind of move them into conscious thought and decide whether they actually deserve a hearing in your life and maybe a chance to change your daily life. So I don't want to make this conversation more complicated, but I'm sorry, it is complicated. And that's where we kind of have to deal with it. And it's important. I think we can, even in the midst of that kind of complication, however, learn how to live with these in a way that opens us up to the power of them without letting them overpower us, in a way that helps us experience some of the freedom and some of the possibility of them without, what, just dragging us down the dead end of our own, what, desires and instincts. And so that brings us to the third, and I promise you, much shorter point. What do I expect us to get out of thinking about these stirrings? Why is this a conversation worth having? And, well, like I said before, it's not because I have a formula to hand to you and I can just, you know, tell you this is how to do it and this is what should happen, but I want to create some stirrings in you about these stirrings, okay? I think that makes sense. I also hope to dislodge some of the power that the status quo just de facto has in your life. Because that's dangerous. We can't afford to let that just be running rampant in us. And then also to help you ask better questions of these stirrings so that you know what to do with them when you recognize them and get to know them. And then last, I want you to know that this place where these premonitions, these rustlings, these stirrings, that where they come from inside you, that place deep within you, I want you to know that that's a good place. You can learn to trust yourself with these things. Not because you'll never make a mistake with these stirrings, because you will make mistakes. It's not because everything that springs from there is good, because it isn't, but because as you love, as you learn to trust yourself and what is deep within you and get to know that self, I think you can begin to repair those mistakes. I think you can learn to navigate through some of the harm that maybe you cause in your life and the people around you. And you can learn to distinguish those seeds that need to be sown in your life or in our life or in this world in order for the future to spring up. So the Bible is interesting. It is such a complicated book. It's full of so much stuff that it's hard to understand. It's got landmines in it. But it also is a way that generations and generations and generations have helped us get a sense of the heart of God. That's how I kind of like to think of it. And I think there's something about how it deals with this issue of stirrings that is incredibly powerful, although probably not often seen. And it starts by, the first chapter, telling us something that, the first thing we need to know if we're going to address these stirrings, and that is we are good, all right? And where this stuff comes from can be trusted. And then the last verses in the Bible tells us the other side of the story. And everything in between is kind of like everybody's experiment with all this stuff, trying to figure out, where are we being led? What are we supposed to do? Who are we supposed to be? And having mistakes and all kinds of stuff and up and down and up and down. And the very end, it ends with this thing. It ends with telling us what the future looks like. It tells us, when all is completed, when everything has come full circle, what do we have? Do we have all this stuff that we set in motion, that we created and we put there, and it's going to just always be there? No, that's not what it tells us. It says, I looked, and what did I see? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. New. And the voice that articulates this, that speaks for it, says simply that I will make all things like they were yesterday. No, I will make all things new. Disruption. And those words, I really have to say, they're kind of meant to be read more as a dream from 2,000 years ago than a guidebook. But how do we live with that? Yeah. So, the truth is not what you already know, but what you are just beginning to get glimmers of, stirrings. So be quiet this week. Not all week, but from time to time, right? Just still yourself, be quiet. Pause when you walk out the door. Or when you walk back in the door. Pause in the presence of a child. Pause when you are around someone whom you love. Just pause. Pause when you look in the mirror, not to see how you look, but to discover who you are. Pause in the busyness of your work or your school. And just watch. Just listen. Don't worry about getting the stirrings all figured out. Just learn to listen for them. That's enough for right now. Those stirrings are important. Something great that you do not yet know is being told to you. And next week, after you've figured some more stuff out about this, and I have too, we're going to take another look about how this speaks to us in our relationships.
Thanks for listening. We hope this conversation continues in your life. You can find other Fabric folks through our social media accounts at Fabric MPLS, or find resources for discussions with smaller groups, family and friends on our website. We also have live gatherings in the Twin Cities we'd love for you to be part of. Learn more at fabricmpls.com.